Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
All right, folks, as always, we've been doing it week in, week out. Just finished the episode. Awesome episode. What we need you to do is please, as we head into the new year, hit that subscribe button. It's been working for us. You guys have been so great with it. Like, comment, subscribe. Subscribe is the big one. Just take a second to hit that button. We'll give you 3 seconds. 3, 2, smash that subscribe button. We love you. We appreciate you. Let's get into the show. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome back to what is another edition here of the Brilliantly Dumb Show, as the D-Man has arrived fully shaven. I will say about the shave, Joe, while it may not be great, which is not great, it's not as bad as the time where you did it in Quail Lodge, because you're not as heavy as you were.
I'm still fat, Bob.
That's a different story. I'm just saying, not as heavy as you are. I think you look a lot better than you did. I really do. It's not good.
I look like I'm in grade school, Bob.
You look a lot younger. But are you mad about losing some years like that? I mean, that's a good thing. You look a little younger.
If I had like a defined jawline like that, like maybe you'd be better. It's not a good look. I look AC as fuck, man.
But that'll be grown back. In a week, you're going to look totally normal again. Not like a full beard, but like the 5 o'clock shadow shit by like day 4 or 5,
hey,
you may be back.
Joe, you remember my hair transplant? Talk about needing to wait a few days. It's not that bad.
Yeah, he had like these 3 stripes in the back of his head. Mikey had called him Adidas boy because it was
The day.
But this
after.
Is tough, man. I mean, this is before Christmas and photos with my first Christmas with my kid. I'm going to look like a complete.
But you know what, though? You got the teeth. At least the teeth are squared away. I mean, that's a big thing, man. Mikey, all he's got to do is smile. What's up?
Where did you get that breezy sweatshirt? That's fire.
You want me to talk to you about this sweatshirt, bro?
We don't have, man. It's unbelievable.
You want to talk about this sweatshirt?
Yeah.
I was gonna do a video tomorrow, but I'll just pump it out here. I mean, listen.
That's heat.
This now available. I think they have it in black as well, with like just the blended in script logo there. But if you're looking for the breezy hoodie finally that has the kangaroo pouch pocket as well that you've been looking for, and this is heavy sweat material. This is not like, you know, our other hoodies are great. They're the most comfortable hoodies in the game. There's no question about it. But this is a winter New Jersey graded hoodie sweatshirt. Comfortable as all hell. And I got the vest, the performance vest for over it when I go out. It's the best combination there is. Breezy hoodie, breezy vest, breezygolf.com. Never pay full price. Bear Down 15 will save you 15%, Bob.
Looks great. We're also going to give you free breakfast for a year if you sign up.
That's
with
correct.
Breezy. You get the
correct. 70% off every purchase. Free breakfast for you and your family for 4 years.
Now, Joe, I will say, with the Packers-Bears game, like, for you to lose in the fashion that you lost, I think makes – and I appreciate you paying your debts. That's big. And commendable, but it's just the way that they lost the game was so brutal. Like, not to get too into X's and O's because it stays away, but for those listening on the audio, Joe is fully shaven. The bet was Packers, Bears, Mikey V versus Joe. They lost the way they lost the game. It was brutal.
The game was won. It was over. And as we have in the past, you know, they say history repeats itself. I had to watch this team fail to cover an onside kick. It was like PTSD of the 2014 NFC Championship all over again. Like, legit, it was exactly the same. The onside kick, instead of the rainbow pass that I still have imprinted on my brain from Russell Wilson to Jermaine Kearse to send them to the Super Bowl, I had to watch Caleb Williams do it to DJ Moore. It was like the same exact play. And by the way, Mikey early reverse jinxed the game, like I know he likes to do. And I said to him in the midst of that, I said, if there's a team that will collapse, let me tell you, this Matt LaFleur, he'll find a way to do it. He is a bad, bad coach.
Did you reverse jinx it, Mikey?
Yeah, the sequence of events that occurred were so outrageously impossible. I mean, you got, first of all, Cairo Santos hitting a 51-yard field goal in that wind is almost impossible. The guy doesn't have a leg to kick a 50-yard field goal.
You cannot talk shit about that guy for...
I can't. That's an insane kick.
He made every single kick. In the fucking wind.
You have had, now I'm all in on the reverse jinx. I don't mind a reverse jinx. I'll do the same thing. You've had in maybe the last six Bears games where you'll be like, same Bears, nothing changes. And then they win. It's happened like six times.
But Bob, if it's working, why would I stop?
Well, that's not the, well, yeah, but yeah, you actually are upset at the time though.
Yeah, very much so. Very much so.
Or like even Caleb, you'll be like, you know, Caleb. And then they go and they turn around. I would do.
I just don't know. I mean, it's just amazing to see it happen in real time. This doesn't happen to us, right? The Bears are not used to this. This always happens against us.
You can tell.
We always lose games like this. Now, you say you could tell. I didn't do anything, Joe. I mean,
I'm telling you, I've never seen a fan base. And again, this is excluding you. You were gracious. I have never seen a fan base so fucking insufferable in my life. You would swear that they have never won a football game. To come to me and say I had hundreds, I'm not joking, hundreds of DMs saying the Bears still own you. And all I wanted to do is take a screenshot, Bob, of the last 15 games we played against them. We won 13 out of 15 games. So I don't know if that's owning us. Sure. Okay, you own us. By the way, there is a way, Mikey, and I'm sure you're well aware of this, the Packers can still win the NFC North.
Yeah,
we win our last two games, and the Bears, by the way, are going to get blown to smithereens by the Niners next week, and then the Lions are going to be fighting for their lives the following week. So there's a world where, you know, the topsy-turvy, they think could turn on its head.
Well, the Bears are in the playoffs right now, and the Packers aren't. That's the conversation to be had today. The Bears are in the playoffs. The Packers aren't. Whether or not the Bears win the division, you don't understand. You don't understand what we go through year after year, Joe. We don't make the playoffs.
I'm a Canucks fan. I've never won. I've dealt with years of suffering.
Yeah. But at the end of the day, nobody's going to break your balls about the Canucks. You know, people are going to break balls about the NFL.
You know whose fandom is starting to really bother me?
Go ahead.
I'm starting to get annoyed by some family. Tickets fandom is a fandom that's really starting to annoy me because he made a comment to me during the Yankees playoff game. Ryan McMahon went to catch a pop-up. He fell on his ass and missed it, and they were about to lose, and I was annoyed. I was like, Jesus, they stink. He turns to me. He's like, man, you're really hard on them, as if I was out of line for that. If you listen to him cheer for the Eagles, even the whole way through the Super Bowl, he acted like they were a disaster. It was over, the worst team ever. They won the Super Bowl. You got Eagles fans booing Eagles throughout so many of these games. And then you watch an Eagles game with them. You don't know what you can say and can't say. If you say, oh, they're not that bad, he gets upset. If you say, you know, you don't know which way. They just won a Super Bowl.
A lot of fans are fickle, man. Do you see the Seahawks game the other night? They were literally booing Sam Darnold, and he brought them back and won in overtime. It's unbelievable. Yeah. It's just
now,
like
– what's going to happen is they're going to come for us with the Yankee fandom, which, you know, I get that. But at the same time, you know, it's been a long time. If Eagle fans hadn't won, you know, since 2009, they would be – they just won a Super Bowl.
And by the way, they just won the Super Bowl, and the one that they won before that wasn't long off either.
Like
you just won two Lombardis in the span of 10 years, right? When was the full Super Bowl, 17, 2017?
I think. Sounds about right.
Okay, yeah. So within the last decade, they've won two Super Bowls, man. Like, try and go an entire lifetime not seeing that, because that's what I've done. I've gone my entire lifetime and haven't seen my team hoist a Lombardi, okay? Now, Joe, you're probably dealing with people. But, Joe, to be fair also, if you don't think that the Packers fans are equally as ruthless, some of them online, whenever you guys beat the Bears, how obnoxious they get about the ownership thing and the Aaron Rodgers thing. And why are you looking like you're fucking perplexed by that? You don't think that these fucking people on X that are Packers people are doing the same thing? You don't think that's
Packers fans are pretty gracious for the most part.
I what did I say when we went to Wisconsin and went to Lambeau? I said all They're the nice people out there were very nice people. But in the world that you exist in and Bob exists in and I exist in the social media world, whether it's a Bears fan, a Packers fan, you're finding the most toxic people of the fan base that are active. If you're active on X like that, yeah, sure, it's there's toxic assholes. Fan base.
There's Correct. Assholes in every Correct. Organization, but Correct. I would argue if you went to Lambeau Field, your experience as an opponent, like as an away fan.
Even as a Bears fan, though?
Yes. Would be. Okay. I would be. I mean, listen, they'll poke fun at you, but like. Yes. These Bears fans are different, dude. They are insufferable. These
Is there
people,
anything,
like,
anybody specifically that you wanted to talk about there?
Yeah, I'd love to. I would love
last
to know.
Last week, the amount of cuts that I had Bone do, Joe went at something that would have really – now people are going to be upset for not being, but like we protected Joe last week from something that he just didn't want a part of. But is there anything Bears-wise that you want to get off your chest, Petey?
Like, let me show you something, okay? Let me just show you something. I sent this to Bob, and you tell me that this is gracious winner.
Why wouldn't you send –
watch this.
Oh, it's a White Sox Dave?
He says, no, he goes, eat my fucking ass. Fuck you, Packers. That is obnoxious. The Packers Sox fans Dave. Don't say that because you know what? We're used to winning. Yeah. That's what we do. We're winners. So when we lose, it's like it's almost like we're in a state of catatonic shock because it's like we're not used to it. So,
Have you ever heard the old saying, act like you've been there?
I've been there before.
See, now there's the problem. Bears fans haven't. Bears fans haven't. That's the exact problem. That's the we haven't. We have not been there.
Yes. And that's fine, but they talk like they have. Just tell another person who's beaten you 13 out of the last 15 games, we still own you, bear down. It's so delusional. It doesn't make any sense.
I'll never understand celebrating in a fashion in which you're going directly at fans of the other team. I'll never get, like, I have posted some obnoxious celebratory reels and stuff, but it's mostly celebrating what my team did as opposed to say, whenever I see guys who are like, fuck you, like, fuck you, Denver, or fuck you, eat shit, or I never really truly understand, number one, why you would want to put that out there, and then it's there forever. Like, it never goes away. It's always there. And I always am a little leery about ever wanting to do it. That's a different extreme that I don't know. I don't know. I don't like dancing on that side of the
I agree with that. Part. I don't think you need to do that. And by the way, there were some fans who messaged me. They're like, oh, it's going to be fun watching you shave. And I have no problem with that. Listen, as a Packers fan, I'm open for people coming for me. But it's people who get... like beyond obnoxious. It's just like I got no time for that shit.
Well, Joe's new thing is what'll do. My he is like fans will like so ever since the Hater series, of course, like things really ramped up for him. But his new thing is he like fans who DM him, he'll voice note them back. Yeah. Like if they go at him,
We were talking about this. That's a very interesting approach, honestly.
It almost the first couple times I did it, like people were like kind of didn't know how to react. They were kind of like taken aback that they had a voice, because like normally you don't voice note somebody you don't know. That's correct. That's not common, you know.
But
common.
You know, the good thing about the voice note is nothing's going to get lost in translation. In text, a lot of things get lost 100. In translation with text. I say that to Bob all the time. I say sometimes in text I just feel like the points can't be conveyed the way you really want them to be. So the voice note may very well be the right play.
If only maybe Mikey could just voice note his tweets. It would be a lot.
I think if you could voice note the tweets in my Trump, you know, the way you do my impression, I think that would hit
the
really
Trump
hard.
Joey.
That would be really good.
Those would be much more enjoyable tweets.
Oh, thanks, Joe.
all right, look. Well, Mikey, we're going to be going at it. Look, anything you want to get out on me is going to be happening. Well, me and Mikey had the plan.
Why? What happened?
Well, me and my dad had the fantasy playoff.
Oh, my. This motherfucker, bro. Hold on one second. Hold on one second. Bob, I got to say one thing, Bob. I got to say, you did not hear a peep from Bob Berger the entire fantasy season in terms of social media fanning. This guy fanned me out after the Thursday night game in a fashion in which I was actually taken back by it. I go, even for Bob, this is low. He put up a screenshot after Matt Stafford and Puka Nacua combined for 1,000 points. And he goes, something like, what a night for my boys, but you know what? You can't count Bear Down out. I was down 100 points. I was down 100 points. But my thing wasn't that. It was that
he lost a horrible game.
This guy had not mentioned the Fantasy Football League on anything for the whole season. He waited until this. It was almost like it was a cold, calculated killer plan.
You know what? That's fair. It was right after the game, too.
You just lost in a horrible bad beat.
I got smoked, man. That's fair. I got smoked.
But then Mikey reverse jinked it. It was like after the
two guys played.
No, because then you were like, hold it, King, or something. Like, you pretty much gave me
But Bob, the Bob, there was literally, I guess there was. It would have been the most astronomical comeback in the history of fantasy football.
Bears. For the record, I am going hand up because that was right after they put up those points. So I am going hand up because I would have given you a hard time.
And it was tough for me because in fantasy, especially in the playoffs, the most annoying thing, and this is why I've cut it down to I'm only in two leagues. But I had Nacua going in my other league. So on the one hand, I'm freaking out because that league I've never won and I've been in it for a long time. So I was happy. But on the other hand, I got so obliterated. Like it wasn't even like me and Bob didn't even have a decent game. Like it wasn't even an entertaining game where we could have went back and forth. Yeah. It was a bludgeoning.
So what is the finals now?
Oh, dude. Oh, it's him against Teddy Ballgame, I think.
Is it definitely Teddy Ballgame?
I don't know. I don't know if it definitely is.
Teddy takes that league very seriously.
He does. He takes him. He's giving calculations of who's going to be in, who's going to be out. Like, he does take that very, very seriously.
Yeah.
By the way, who finished last? Was it Dickie Gass?
Oh, wait a minute. Teddy's down. He's down 23 points to Featherston.
But
he's got Christian McCaffrey. He's got McCaffrey and Jonathan Taylor going tonight. But
that's over.
It is until both of them twist an ankle in the first. I've seen shit like that happen, man. Yeah, I mean, that's not over.
Back.
Over.
That's his running back.
Yeah, it's a good tandem. That's a good tandem.
McCaffrey.
Yeah, it's a good tandem.
Bob, buckle up. That's gonna be.
Mikey's gonna get his revenge, I think. Miami playing Ohio State.
Oh, yeah. the Cotton Bowl.
I think, like, this is not a reverse jinx. I mean, the spread's only 9.5, so it's doable. I can't sit here and say Miami can't win. I think this is not a reverse jinx. I think Miami's going to get the doors blown off of them. I really, they can't move the ball. Like, I think as good as Miami's defense is, they can't move the ball. I don't think they're going to be able to score on Ohio State. And I think Ohio State offensively is a lot better than what Texas A&M
brought. A&M had one of the best offenses in the country, Bob.
Yeah, but that Marcel Reed, though, Texas A&M was a paper bowl in many ways. The teams they played from the SEC were the bottom seven ranked teams, the bottom half of the SEC. They didn't play the top dogs. When they played Texas, they got killed. I liked A&M. I honestly thought A&M was going to beat Miami because they were home. And I thought the home field advantage for them was going to be really, really massive. But, I mean, that game was just a stalemate. And Miami got the run game going late. And that was the difference. That running back, he did what he had to do. And the Miami defense was just too much for Marcel Reed.
Miami's got a really, really good defense. Like, they've had in a really long time. I really think Ohio State is so much better. And I also think Miami's just kind of happy that they're still dancing, that they're still in it, to where I think you could get a full-blown blowout.
Well, I'll say this. The unfortunate thing, I think, for Miami, and they still got to play the game, and I'm not counting it as a W yet. I'm not, because it's just I've seen things, but the fact that Ohio State lost their last game, I think they're going to be pissed off. You know, they're going to have like chip on their shoulder, like pissed off from that Indiana game, which I think hurts them. But I got to tell you, Bob, you texted about them. This guy is so fucking annoying, man. Not Ben Johnson, because I found out this week Bob doesn't like Ben Johnson. That's another subject.
There's another guy that bothers me, too.
But this guy, man, I mean, the dog walking on the sideline, the beating the trash can, the belt to ass on the trash can, the kissing of Cristobal during the interview. Like, he can't even get the interview in without him trying to be in the middle of that. Like, it's just fucking nuts with Michael Irvin, man. And you had said it last year, Bob, and I was like, I go, he's an alumni, he's a legend there. Like, I kind of like when the legend players come back and they're on the sideline. I actually think it's cool. But this guy has taken it to a level to which I've never seen anyone act this way. It's fucking crazy. It's crazy.
Bob, if you could get him to get you to a championship, though, would you take it?
What do you mean?
What?
Like, if having him on the sidelines brought them to a championship, would you?
Of course. Yeah, of course. And I think maybe he helps with recruiting. Like Mike said, he's a legend. Like, he's a Miami legend. But, like, you're right, Mike. Like, when he went and kissed Cristobal.
Were you talking about that moment or when he was smashing the trash can with the belt?
No, I was talking about that.
The kiss?
Or, like, Miami will score a touchdown, and before the players can celebrate with each other, he, like, interferes and gets in with the players. Like, you got to at least let them celebrate, and then, you know, maybe on the side. But he's so in your face.
He's always been like that. He's been a sporadic guy his whole career.
Yeah, I mean, look, again, I'm not taking away anything from the fact that the guy's a legend. I'm sure he can help them a bit with recruiting and whatnot, but, like, it is a lot. It's got, you know, Joe, you called out Big Dom. Big Dom gets in. He gets himself into the limelight a whole
lot. Not like Irvin. Irvin's a level. I think that the A&M game was his top performance. I have never seen him this crazy. Joe, the guy was on all fours like a dog. He was on all four. He was on all fours like a dog on the sideline, hunching his back up like this. He was like twerking his ass. It was insane.
Wait, what?
Yes.
And then he was at the Jake Paul fight. He got in the mix in the Jake Paul fight the night before.
Oh, I didn't see that.
He was all over the broadcast. He was all over the broadcast. Now, granted, for that one, they went over to him.
I got to give kudos to Jake Paul, too. You mentioned it. I got to give him his flowers, Bob. You know, he stepped in the ring with a guy he had no business being in the ring with. Now, he did get his teeth knocked out and his jaw rearranged, but that's neither here nor there. He made a ton of money.
$80 million, would you not do that, Mikey? I would line up for that.
Joe, $80 million. $80 million.
I thought it was 80. $100 million?
No, I'm saying you're asking me $80 million. I mean, the number, you could reduce that number by a big margin, and I'd do it. By a big margin.
$20 million, I'd do that.
Although, you know where it really sunk for me? Where it's like, oh, man. His jaw was broken in two different places, and he has to eat liquids for 7 days. Now, that's a problem.
Dude, he'll
lose a lot of weight, though, Bob.
He fought a guy that's going to fight. He's fighting a guy like – it's like fighting Tyson Fury. You're fighting like a heavyweight champion boxer. It's suicidal.
It's now, stones.
You can't tell me that those first couple rounds, the slipping and the dance, like they definitely had something where there was, I'm not saying it's fixed, but there's a mutual understanding where, guys, we need this fight to not be over in two rounds.
Well,
there
has to be. The guy knocked the fuck out of him. So, I mean, like.
Yeah, he killed him. He killed him. He killed him.
He had 6 inches on him, too. I mean,
that's what I'm saying. The size differential alone is why I give him his props, because just to step in the ring with a guy like that is dangerous. It's fucking dangerous.
If you think about, like, just how stale boxing has got, like, in Jake Paul's defense as well, he's brought notes. Like, to be honest, I didn't know much about Anthony Joshua. Like, I really didn't know much, and I think a lot of people are like that, where they want – and now people want to see him fight a Fury, like – so he definitely does help boxing. Yeah, that was a complete mismatch. But it was intriguing because everybody wanted to see Paul get his you know,
you
knocked
knew he was
out.
Gonna lose, because if he had won, I think there was like a stat that DraftKings would have lost over $100 million.
Yeah. I can't believe people were really hammering Paul. Like, I understand having fun and you want to dabble a little bit, but I mean, you're really just burning money. The guy was a minus 1600 favorite, Joshua, I think, by the time the fight went off.
So that's the only problem with then if you bet Joshua laying those odds.
Oh, no, that's stupid.
Think you had to be fixed. You know, that's the thing, too, where it gets a little bit scary. I don't think it is, but laying those types of odds for that is crazy. We always talked about, Joe, we've mentioned, like, with UFC, when these guys are huge dogs, like, I couldn't imagine taking, like, a minus 1,000 favorite in UFC because you just get so scared. One punch and the guy could be out, you know?
The only thing you could do that with, really, is if you're looping that in like, a big money line parlay, six fighters or five fighters, and you toss that in to just
I know.
Kick the juice
I did that.
Little.
And then that Val Hooper Bob or whatever, that Mexican kid killed me, and I'll never do that again. Remember that? Kid was like doing kickboxing, and it was just fucking around out there. It was such a disaster.
Joe, me and Joe had a tough last card. I put in two fights last second. He didn't know that I had the fights, and then it came out, and he just was not happy at all.
Well, Joe, to be fair, though, you do love to bet, like, everything. It's hard to keep up. I mean, I'm not saying it like I'm saying, like you have so much action, I feel like. Like, you'll be – like, yesterday, you're like, I'm getting killed, and I'm like, well, what game do you have? I didn't even know, because I thought we were following the same script.
You had more
almost.
Plays than I did yesterday.
I had four plays yesterday. Four
I
plays.
I had three.
All right.
I lost everything.
All right. I'm sorry.
I was actually up to
you. Did you take the Patriots?
No, I took the Ravens.
Joe, you bro, that's unfucking real, dude. You told me, you were like, do you like the Pats? And I was like, yeah, I really do.
I flipped the last second. I don't know why. I thought maybe because they're playing for their playoff life.
Well, they did have a 10-point lead late in the game without Lamar, which is pretty fucking good.
But would you agree?
Well, Lamar going down killed them. That was it.
I thought Huntley played well.
In Mikey's defense, that is true. Or like if you watch like a Saturday with you, like you have action going and play like you will be screaming for things that you don't even know that.
Well, because that's when that happens. That's when we have like. Then me and Jet do like the point parlay take all the games.
Oh, the mega teaser.
You just buy it up by like 15 points each game. So that's why it'll happen.
Crazy. But by the way,
Jet's hit it a few times.
Yeah, he's lost a lot. When Jet sends you a text, when I'll send me a text like nothing matters. Like I'll be like I'll send him a text on a Saturday, be like, hey, like what video do you have coming out Thursday? He'll be like, doesn't matter. I'm like, all right, we got big problems. Like, he lost a fucking fortune. Yeah. Jet is not the scapegoat that you want to have, though, PD.
No, but I'm saying typically that's when I have I don't do a lot of plays now if it's not in a parlay. Like, I don't do a lot of single straight bets. Does that
make
sense?
Just, no, but to PD, that's just not true. Like, that's just not. Joe, that. Oh, come on, D. That is not true. Like, that is.
Like,
so
I'll take games and parlays, but I'm not doing like five, six straight bets. I'll do like, it's for football, I'll do like one like main game per like time.
Joe, if it, let's call a spade a spade. If there is a standalone national television game and there's one on at 1, at 4, at 7, and then a midnight game, you're going to bet a straight play on all of
those. I just said there's one per time slot. 1 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 7.
But then the parlays also on top
of it. Well, yeah, the parlay's different.
And then the first touchdown scores.
I stop that. That's donation city. No, that's just straight up donations. It's fun if you put like 20, 30 bucks on it, but if you go heavy, it's
Gambler's Digest has been dabbling in, which it's so hard to hit, but it gets fun. If you do the anytime touchdown parlays, but you sprinkle one of them where it has to be the first touchdown, those odds. I'll forever be chasing that Romeo Doubs high of going into that night game, you know, with that amount.
You needed him anytime, though, no, right? Not first.
Anytime.
Yeah.
You should have taken that DraftKings cash app.
I know. Mm. I know. It's
it was good. It was good for content, though. It was good.
Yeah, that was fucking wild. That one. That was wild. And then the one when we were in Long Island for what the fuck?
Ryder Cup.
That, remember we all had what's his name, Ferguson.
Jordan Love.
Bob
had Jordan Love over two passing touchdowns.
Yes, he hit that, but we all had Ferguson first touchdown score, and he got tackled at the 1 yard line. Remember, he got tackled at like the inch line? Fucking nuts.
Yeah.
Fucking nuts.
All right, fellas. Well, let's go into our buy or sell. I wanted to hear what the fellas had a lot happen throughout the week. So I'm going to send this over to Mikey. Mikey, I'm going to let you get started here, buy or sell. I do want to also add the coach that's starting to bother me just to keep an eye on.
Yeah, Bob bought a sport last week, and I'm buying a sport this week that has caught my eye and caught my fancy. Now, I had seen this before, but I have to say the clips are all over the internet now. This professional darts league, have you seen the videos from this darts league over in England? It is
180.
Bro, these guys come out to songs and they have cheerleaders behind them. And this guy comes out to what's that song, Joe? I'm bulletproof, nothing to lose, fire away. What song is that? I don't know the name of the song.
Is that David Guetta? I think it is.
No, I don't think it is. Bulletproof. That's the name of the song. He comes out and he's doing like this, and the whole crowd is fucking singing in unison to this. Like, this guy is like, I don't know, like he's Pete Sampras coming out at Wimbledon. It's fucking crazy, the energy in the darts world. I never had any idea how popular. Now, I have a dartboard right behind me. I love to play a little darts. These guys are out of shape.
It's called titanium.
That's titanium. Now, Bob, these guys look like they could be every day. You would never be able to spot a professional dartsman because he looks like, you know, just another guy, not athletic looking whatsoever. And these guys are just precision fucking marksmen with these darts. And the crowd,
they're all drunk.
The crowd is blackout hammered. Everybody in the crowd is blackout. Some of the wild. I'll tell you one of the clips when this is over, but I am buying the professional darts scene as one of the wildest scenes I've seen in any sports. It looks incredible. I have to get to one.
It sounds completely absurd, but I won't knock it because of what happened with me with the women's volleyball that I have to at least try. I don't think I've had that much support on the podcast ever.
Yeah, they were backing you big time.
Dude, it is something up. By the way, congrats to the Texas A&M Aggies who took home the women's volleyball. Did you guys get a chance to watch it or no?
I have watched women's volleyball before, but never like I'm gonna go out of my way to watch it. I've seen it on. I'll stay on it for 5 minutes. It is crazy the way they dive across. Like these girls go, they fucking fly across the court.
I like the beach volleyball because that's really, really intense.
Yeah, I bet. I can't knock it anymore. I'm going to save D-Man for last. I'll go. I got a couple buys. I got a couple sells. A little bit across the board.
A couple? You got multiple?
Well, yeah, I'm just going to move through them quick. My mind. Okay. Buying the LA food scene, I think, is the number one food scene in the country.
New York?
Yeah, that's.
I am. Yeah.
Really?
People are going to be up in arms.
Now, that's the one, too. You know, that or New York. I do think I give the edge to LA. I really do. God, I know I've gained weight, like just an obscene amount. This cheesesteak spot I tried, like LA really, I mean, Joe, we got to experience and I think it's got even better since when we were here.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, it's been fun going over with like I told you how fragile every night has been in LA. I'm still here. And I had one Postmate order. Me and her would say, you know, we're going to stay in one night. We've been going out to dinner all night, where I ordered something that wasn't the right place. And I was just beside myself because each night is so crucial with how many great spots there are. So buying the LA food scene, I also want to buy the Patriots. The fact that this franchise is now back in the mix again and has a chance to win the Super Bowl, like, it's insane. And then one more sell. The college football committee, they got to figure something out. I'm all for the 12-team playoff. I think it's great. I think that's a great thing they did. You got to figure out a way to just commit to the best possible teams. Like Notre Dame should be in there. The JMU came in there. All the credit to them. I mean, people were pulling from them. And Tulane, it wasn't a game.
No, yeah, Tulane got the doors blown off them. At least JMU in the second half did a little something. But I'm in total agreement, Bob.
Yeah, I mean, at least Alabama made them look good as far as beating Oklahoma now, and then I think they'll at least give a good fight to Indiana, but they got to figure that out.
Yeah, I the debate with Bama to me wasn't like I was enraged that they made the playoff. My thing was like they didn't drop a single spot from 9, which to me was outlandishly stupid, but the Texas, Vanderbilt, Notre Dame, those three teams should have got those JMU or the Tulane spot, because those games just would, you're flushing the half the first round away, which sucks.
Notre Dame, viewer. Oregon would have been unbelievable.
Would have been great.
Yeah, it would have been a lot of fun. Would have been a lot of, Oregon, they have a tough time with Texas Tech, Joe. You could, that you could write that down.
That would have been awesome. Well,
you said Texas Tech might be a team that could go all the way, you said.
Dangerous team, because they play defense and they could score, but their defense is outrageous. The linebacker, Rodriguez, he's incredible.
Mikey, can we? I don't know if we can say it. Is Coach Wink, can we get confirmation on Coach Wink wearing the have a day
That's
hat?
What he told me, yeah. I got a text from Coach Wink earlier this week, and he was like, first congratulating me on the Bears, and then he went right in. He went right, so this must, he must have been thinking about it. He went right into, what do you think the boys would say if I wore a have a day hat at the bowl game? Now, when he says at the bowl game, to me that means he's going to wear it on the sideline, because we've seen him wear it in pressers before, so I don't think he would ask about that, because he's done it and he's never asked. So I think you may see Coach Martindale in a have a day hat on the sideline. You know, Michigan, what, anything goes there these days, so they're probably, there's no uniform conduct over there, so I'd love to. I told him we would love it, we would go fucking nuts for it.
You know what?
Oh, Bob would have coverage during the game.
I'd be all,
yeah, but as he should. As he, yeah, should. I mean, I'd throw it up, and I can't stand that university, and I'd throw it up.
I did ask him, because I had to ask. I won't get into like what he said about it, but like, imagine asking him the questions as far as what's going on over there with their head coach now being in jail. Like, that has to be wild. The guy that he works hand in hand every day. It'd be, you know, whether he, now we didn't get into that, but whether if they knew what was going on, like a lot of things are going to come from that situation, which is so messed. Did you see him sitting in the jail cell for the hearing? How sad that, like, it was sad.
Yeah. And then I tell you what's scary though. Did you see that originally a mugshot went out and it was fake, but everyone was circulating the original mugshot. It was totally fake. Then they finally released the real one. And in the real one, you could see this guy's eyes are just sunken in. Looks like he's been crying for, you know, God knows how long he's been there. I mean, it is one of the more unfortunate things, rivalry aside and me hating them aside. Like, I would not wish any of this on my worst enemy. But again, just a guy who had everything. He got handed the keys to a kingdom. That's a top five job in the country, Michigan head coach. It's a top five job in the country. And he just pissed it all away.
Is he still in jail?
No, he got released on a $25,000 bond, but he's got to wear a tracking bracelet. He can't smoke weed. He can't drink alcohol, and he's on bond right now.
Now, and of course, I mean,
look, house arrest, did it, basically.
He'll never get another job now either.
Oh no!
No, I feel I'm going to tell you this. I think he would get another job if he didn't do what he did after he got fired. Like, he had the inappropriate relationship. They found out, they fired him for it. If he had not gone to her house and committed a domestic violence offense, I think he probably would have gotten another job if he never had done something to get arrested. But the fact that he did all of that is the reason I don't think he'll ever get it. He's unhirable now.
I feel bad for his kids. His kids are going to have to grow up.
His kids
and
his
wife.
Yeah, that's as bad as it gets, bro. It's as bad as it gets.
Really, really bad. Like, obviously, with all that, he did it to himself. But, yeah, that is just – seeing him in that cell, it was like, oh, man. All right, we're going to head on over to Peter DeMar. Joseph, buy or sell?
I'm going to sell this week, and Mike is not going to like it, but I have to be true to myself.
You're not going to keep talking about Bears fans, are you?
I think he is.
Good God. All right,
it's not just the Bears fans here, by the way. This is the entire organization. What? For them to turn off the heat on the sidelines of the Green Bay Packers and to play dirty ball to try to beat us.
Dirty ball?
Yeah, first and foremost. So if I could get through this cell, that would be great, Michael. So the turning off of the heat, that's – first and foremost, scumbag behavior. Secondly, the headhunting that started from the very first kickoff. Bob, I know you saw that guy crowd surfing trying to take the returner's head off, and then multiple times in attempts at taking Jordan Love down, at which they finally did. Kudos to them. And then just absolutely unbearable. It just really, and then the fans are just a cherry on top. So just Ben Johnson, by the way, one of the more obnoxious people I've come into contact with.
I do not like. I'm
you
not.
You haven't come into contact with them. That's number one. You haven't come into contact with them. Number two, football is a violent game, Joe. I mean, these guys are not out to play patty cake. They're out to hurt each other. That's the game.
The head-on-head collision, he could have sent him into
Jordan Love state. Lowered his head on that hit. Did he not?
Tom Brady, who is an aficionado for the game, said it was a very dirty hit. He should have been kicked out of the game.
Okay.
And you know what? He mission accomplished. He took our quarterback out, which ultimately led to our demise.
So, I can be sold on Ben Johnson, but for right now, I find him to be, like, very pissy. If things
he's
don't
a great
go
coach.
His way,
100%. He's a great coach.
If things don't go his way. Mike, we talked about this a little
bit. Yeah, we did. I was shocked. I was shocked Bob don't like him.
Yeah, I think and also his handshake with the floor. What's going on there?
They had a handshake at the end of this game. It looked a lot more amicable. But then again, you could say, well, that's because maybe because he won the first time he lost and the handshake wasn't good at all. But I don't know. He made a comment when he got hired, Bob. Ben Johnson made that comment when he got hired. It felt good beating Matt LaFleur twice a year. I don't know if there's something that went on with them in the previous years when he was in Detroit. I have no fucking clue. I don't know.
By the way, what he didn't say is that the game that they beat us last year was a meaningless game for the Packers. The Bears did.
Joe, I'm not talking about that game. I'm talking about when the Bears hired Ben Johnson.
Oh, okay.
He was saying like when he was in Detroit, it felt good to beat him. Yeah.
All right,
it's a good hand.
You know another guy who's been bothering me a little bit too?
Go ahead.
Now, I can change week to week.
Who? What did Joe say?
I said speak.
Oh, I thought he picked somebody. Okay.
What is it, Liam Cohen, the Jags?
The Jags head coach? Yeah.
Did you see the thing with Sean Payton? And he's done this before where Sean Payton made a remark about he was giving them a compliment.
But you don't like Sean Payton either, though.
No, I don't mind Sean Payton.
Was it you, Joe, that don't like Sean Payton? Somebody doesn't like Sean Payton here. Joe, didn't you?
He says some things that can rub me the wrong way.
It was Bob, wasn't it? I thought Bob didn't like Sean Payton. I thought he sold Sean Payton at one point. Remember when he got the deal in Denver and you're like, this guy's got to come off the plane and this, that, and the draft picks for this guy?
Everybody bothered. Yeah, I it could have been. He said... Yeah.
Bob's becoming more like his dad by the day, man.
Yeah.
The Liam Cohen thing, though, Sean Payton, all he said was, he said for Jacksonville, they're a small market team and they're having great success.
Yes, I saw that.
He was giving them a compliment. There was nothing bad there. Now, Payton got into it with the whole Russell Wilson thing as well. Yes. And then Liam Cohen took a shot at him, pretty much saying, you know, as a small market team, it's great to come in there. And he's gotten pissy before about other things. He got into it with another coach after the game. He could end up being coach of the year. He's done an amazing job. But he's gotten a little – like Sean Payton wasn't taking a shot at him at all. And then he wins and got a little pissy after.
Do you think that he interpreted Payton as like – it was like an underhanded comment, like kind of like, oh, we're a small market team. Like do you think he took it as a dig maybe, like a covert dig?
I do, and I don't think there was a dig there at all.
Okay.
Especially as a guy who hates Peyton. I mean, I am not going to back him up.
Somebody talked at length about hating Sean Payton here. I know somebody did.
So when I was a Saints fan, I loved Sean Payton. I'm the most fraudulent Jet fan of all time. I was the biggest Sean Payton fan of all time. Now, he can say things that, can rub me. He can come off a little bit. I guess I have it out for everybody. Go ahead, Pete.
I just wanted to finish what I was going to say about like in the sell. I'm not going to sell anymore. No, I'm not selling anymore. Mm-hmm. I want to say this. Mm-hmm. I do think it's very good for football that the Bears are good again. It's good for the rivalry, and it's good for the
good for North. My family.
It's good. It's good. It's good just in general for football.
Little Dom's very happy now. He's very happy.
Well, he's going to be tragically disappointed once the playoffs come around.
Probably.
This loss got Pete under Pete's skin more
big
than
time.
Any loss.
Big
this
time.
One got to him really bad. Now, was that because
the shaving and just – well, also, too, we probably would have won the NFC North had we won this game, you know, and we had the game. We had the game the whole time.
I can understand his frustration, not because I'm not used to losing. I'm very much used to losing with this team. We lose all the fucking time. But I have seen games where the Bears lose in the most improbable, impossible fashion ever. And when it happens, it's just like, how in the fuck do you allow this to happen? Like, how does it happen? And that was, what was that?
DraftKings posted that the Chicago Bears had just a 0.9% chance, less than 1% chance to win when there was 3 minutes and 27 seconds left in the fourth quarter. Yeah. They're down 10. It was third and 20. And then the face mask. It was just like every single thing that could have gone wrong went wrong. On top of us losing our quarterback, losing our running back. And just it's been that kind of season. I think to be completely honest, had the Denver Broncos loss not been last week where we lost Micah Parsons, where we've had just back-to-back compounded disastrous weeks, I think I would have been better off. But that compounded with the bet for me shaving and everything on top of it, it just sent me in a spiral. Well, I was in a bad place Saturday night.
Coach, I do happen to like LaFleur. I think he's a classy guy. I really do.
Now, Joe like him, though. Joe don't like him.
You don't
think he's a good coach. No,
I like him as a person. I think he doesn't have – I don't think he got the dog in him to win the big
game. All my coaching takes are as a person. Like, you can't deny –
No, I think he's a very classy guy.
I do,
even
too.
Even after – if you watch his press conferences at the end, he always says and does the right things. I just don't think in the big moment, I don't think he has the leadership to take us – to that next level. Where I will say this, I called him a scumbag, but Ben Johnson to me is a better coach than
Matt. Now Ben Johnson's a scumbag?
Well, maybe that's a bit of an
extreme. That's a little extreme. Scumbag? I mean, we were calling Nick Sirianni a scumbag. Now we're going to call Ben Johnson.
I would have a beer with Sirianni.
That's what I'm saying. This show is preposterous.
Bob has gone back on his on multiple things he said in previous episodes. God forbid if I did that, Tracker would be putting out.
Tracker. Graphics. I mean, I asked him that question today, man. He was on it. He was on that fucking question, man.
A text-to-text basis.
Well, yeah, I'd been asking him on DMs, like, Tracker, have we done this before? And he said to me, if you really need an expeditious answer to something, just hit my cell because I'll see it right away.
I think Mikey was very impressive from Tracker taking some digs at me that he went ahead and forwarded him his digits, and now they're best of friends.
No. He is coming to Christmas Eve. He's coming to Christmas Eve, Feast of the Seven Fishes. But other than that, we're just acquaintances.
You're so full of shit. Yeah, so full of shit.
By the way, I can't wait for that content. That's some of my favorite.
Oh, Joe, I can't wait, bro. Yeah.
The lobsters that are size of dolphins. It's the best.
Yeah, I ordered 8-pounder this year.
That are size of dolphins.
8-pounder coming this year, Joseph.
Whoa. But is there a theory that the bigger they are, the less the meat is as good?
If you cook it right, you're not gonna that tail could feed a family of four. That eight. But
have you heard
tail.
where I'm coming?
Yeah,
from?
It gets anytime you go over 3-pound lobster, the meat gets tougher. Anytime you go over.
I wonder, like, for example, like Joe Stone Crab.
That's
such
different.
An iconic spot. But at the same time, like, how are they able to keep the consistency? If it all depends on what they bring in that day, like how can they keep consistency? You know what I mean by that? Does that make sense?
Usually a place like that, Joe, correct me if I'm wrong, they'll have the top purveyor available and they'll get first of the pick. Like they get like a chain like that. They'll get first dibs on whatever they have. I could be wrong.
Well, it's also a restaurant that's been in business for a long time. So they probably have a long-standing relationship with their suppliers. So they're probably always getting, like Mikey said, you know, deliver top-notch stuff without any question.
Here's another thing I think about. I always watch Cat's Deli on TikTok. What if something happens to Cat's Deli's provider, okay, or supplier, where they go, say they're done. They're like, look, we're done. We've had a great run. We're done. Wow, that is a scream.
How's G-Baby? Yeah, that, I don't know what the hell's going on up there, man. Yeah, this is what I live. This is every day, boys. Every day.
What if the Cat's Deli was like, look, we can't give you the pastrami. Now, does that completely compromise this iconic spot that was Cat's Deli? You don't think
Bob,
so?
You know what it's like? You know what it's like, Bob? It's like if you were a top-tier athlete in the NFL and you lost your agent, you don't think there's another great agent who's going to be right there to scoop you up? That's what it's like. 100%. Why would a supply company not want an established, esteemed place?
But
like
I think
that?
What I think what Bob is saying is like, what if where they're getting it from is the only place that does it
but
to that
not.
Specificity,
there's
and that's not. What people are expecting. They're expecting that exact one.
But I said it's like getting like top tier Wagyu. You can get it from tons of different suppliers. It's not just one person carrying it.
All right.
Yeah. All right. I think about that all the time. You know, another thing I think of, I don't know if we talked about this. I think I've said this, but like, you know, Joe, you go to Joseph's Market, right? The amount or a bakery. You see all the pastries that they have, right?
Yeah.
A, how do they know how much to make? B, there are so many pastries there that do they run it back the next day and put a lot of the same pastries out? And what do they just throw away all of that stuff? Because there's no way they sell that in one day. You know what I mean?
We used to throw ours out.
Throw what out?
Well, so like when I worked at Boulevard, they did fresh pastries every day, like croissant. They did like Danish, stuff like that. And they basically would look at sales from week over week to see how many they were selling. So that would be kind of a cue as to how much to make. Now, if you sell out, you sell out. That's what it is. You know, you don't have any more. But then if they ever had extras, what
86.
They would do is, well, yeah, you 86. Good job, Mikey. But if you had extras, you know what they would do, Bob, is they'd send it over to Avenida to like employees and whatnot to eat. And then if that didn't, then they would toss it. But they would never roll it back the next day.
Okay. Yeah, I wonder that. Or like you see Joseph all those pre-made meals, which by the way never hit for some reason. The pre-made stuff that looks so good, it just never hits.
A lot of those are frozen, so they have good shelf life.
So you think they run it back? You think they do bring those back out?
The ones that are pre-made, yeah, a lot of them are frozen, so they could last for a week, if not more.
That's why I stay away from like fruit-wise. I really like fruit. I really dig to the back of the shelf for the fruit because when they see that there's a discount on the fruit, that thing doesn't have much longer left.
the pre-made meals though, you're talking about from like what are you talking about? Like at a supermarket or what do you
like
what
pre-made
you...
like pasta?
Yeah,
they're normally
like,
frozen.
Yeah, if you go
yeah,
to
but
Whole Foods,
sold in what sold how though? Like sold in what capacity?
Yeah, so like if you go to like Whole Foods, like
okay,
if they have the thing of Brussels sprouts, you know, near
like underneath the heat lamps and shit.
So not the hot bar that's open, but like where they're like, okay, I'll do a pound of the
Yeah.
You know, it looks so good, and then you go and you heat it up, and it just never hits.
Oh, you're talking about? I thought you were talking about some of the ones they have prepackaged frozen ones. I'm talking. You're talking about the ones. Yeah. So you're talking about the ones over the counter.
Correct. Not
yeah,
the
I go to the Stu Leonard's and it's basically like it's like a Trader Joe's but a little bit different, but it's one of those. It's a chain and they do that's where I get my meal prep stuff and it's made and it gives you the date it was made on, you know what I mean? Made on this date. And usually if you eat it within the next 4 days reheated. Now, Bob, we've been over this. If you're eating healthy, no matter what you eat, it hits, but it doesn't hit. Like it's edible and it's fine. And it's like, okay, I could do this, but it's never going to hit like something from the Beverly Hills cheese shop, for example, which by the way, was one of the funnier things that I've read that tweet to a couple people and they were fucking dying, hysterically dying. The video was great. I thought the tweet may have been even better than the video, the original
tweet. Oh, it's the most out-of-touch tweet of all time.
It was like a Tuesday afternoon. He's like, I know this may sound crazy, but can anybody give me a recommendation on what to get at the Beverly Hills cheese shop? It was the amount of people in the population that could give a real recommendation on that tweet has to be below 1%. It has to be.
That was when I first
imagine if I said that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So I actually prefaced it by saying like, hey, I know this is the most out of
touch. He did.
So if I didn't do that, then I would have got shredded. But there's a place in Beverly Hills called Beverly Hills Cheese Store. And all they do is cheese and sandwiches. Their sandwiches are unbelievable. But I did preface it with a tweet. Joe took a lot of shit. A lot of people sent me the tweet that Joe put. Joe traveled with his kid and his dog and his wife. So that's a lot going on. The dog took a shit in the airport. But Joe said, while people gave you shit. People, rather than just saying the dog took a shit in the airport, he said the dog took a shit outside of the business lounge and people pounced. Your thoughts on that, D? I'm not ragging on you, John. I'm just telling people, I'm saying what happened.
I was. By the way, this is why I don't use the X or the Twitter, because it's so obnoxious, these people just looking.
You can't say you don't use it, though. You can't say that because you do use it.
I use it from time to time. It's a good venting mechanism.
It's great when you're on it, by the way. I really need you to stay on it.
I agree.
It is. Like you said, football's better when the Bears are good. X is better when Cutsy's there. That's my opinion.
I would pay you monthly to like just do a certain amount of tweets.
What a sick fuck, man.
I really would.
Look at this.
Hey.
But here's the thing is my notion was not to be like, look at me, I'm staying in the business lounge. I don't care. The problem is it makes it so much more escalated how bad it is that it was in the entrance of the business lounge. And people who are going into the business lounge to relax were trying to wheel their suitcases past my dog shit as I had paper towels cleaning it up off the floor.
Yeah.
So does that not elevate the situation a little bit? It wasn't like it was in the middle of the terminal where people could just walk around. It was right in the center of this business lounge.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news. It doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date, it notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
So I have another question about the trip, if I may, Bob, if I could ask this question. I don't want Joe to get mad at me, though. This is the thing. I don't want him to get mad at me.
No, I'm not mad.
You promise you're not going to get mad. You promise you're not going to like think I'm being a scumbag, because I'm not. I'm honestly, swear to God, I'm not.
Sounds like he's going to get upset.
I did notice that in one of the pictures or the videos that you uploaded, the dog, while on the plane, was wearing a jacket that said service dog.
Yeah.
And I'm just curious as to what service that dog may be providing, because
he is certified. Nicole did a week-long training session with him, because when we first started flying with him, he had to fly in the carrier and he was going nuts. He was like had anxiety and whatnot. So Nicole spent like a week long and spent like $200 to take him to do the course. And we actually have the certification for him. Now, what service he's providing would be medication reminder for like anxiety, but he doesn't provide a service. He's certified. He's done the course. It'd be like saying like, I went to high school. I got my graduation. I got my diploma, but I didn't go to college. Like I'm not doing it, but he has his papers. So for what that's worth.
So it's really more for the dog. So the dog doesn't have to be suffering from being in the cage. Okay. See, that's all I wanted to know.
That's why we did it. But if someone asks us, we have the proof. Because like in the airline, you can't just take a dog, put a service thing, and then bring them in. You need to get all the paperwork and everything.
So we traveled with Narod's dog, and it was the most anxiety I think I've ever had at an airport.
Bad.
It's really
Her dog has this also? The service thing or no?
Not service. So you can't sit in first class with if it's not a service dog. Or like we were in an exit row, which I don't know how they let us get to the exit row.
You can, Bob.
No, we had to. They had to remove us from the exit row. I was, Yeah, they're like, you can't sit in an exit row with
what airline?
With a dog. I don't think it matters. I would think it's any airline.
No, there. If it's probably JetBlue that you traveled, no?
I did travel JetBlue.
Yeah. We looked up, there's certain airlines where they have more lenient guidelines for the dogs traveling. So United is great. Delta is great. JetBlue, no way.
Really? Because I like JetBlue a lot.
I do, but for traveling with pets, they're very strict. Dude, so when we traveled with Dre, you can sit in first class, but there's a carrier they have to be in, and they have to go almost like a backpack in front of the seat, which is so confined, and it's not really great for the dog. So now with Dre, with his certification, he can just lay on my feet, and he just sleeps the whole time. He's actually
Are you respectful of other people? Like if somebody sits like with a German Shepherd, you know, are you respectful of an eye on the dog?
How the fuck can you bring a German Shepherd?
Mikey.
That's like bringing a fucking person onto the plane.
Yeah.
But Dre is like with his ass lately because he's older. He shits everywhere. But like in terms of like how he behaves, he doesn't go crazy over dogs. He doesn't like bark. And even the last flight we took, he slept the whole time. So people are actually like, "Oh, the dog is actually well trained," and I'm like, "Yeah."
Our dog, you just have to get her on the plane. But like, she barked from the bag a couple times. It was the most anxiety I think I've had traveling in a while. Fellas, let's get on over to the Ask Bob segment. A lot of people said that the same question was asked in the Ask Bob of last week.
People are just trying to find loopholes, man. But I'm so over it.
Yeah, what was the question that was asked?
Photosynthesis. But I think Tracker cleared it up, by the way, and you should give Tracker a little credit, Joe. He came to your defense.
I never asked you that question though, Bob.
You didn't. No, I think it was something that came up with Dom.
It came up in conversation. It wasn't a formal question from Joe. And Tracker had your back, Joe. So maybe you want to think twice about talking
Joe,
about
you should
Tracker.
Text him. You should text him.
You should. No, I have his number if you want. I'll put you in a group chat with him.
I will say this. I actually think Tracker's a nice guy.
Tracker had a great showing when he came on.
Yeah, naturally.
But Joe, I think you knew he came on to you. He's in a tough spot because he was coming at you and he was really walking into the lion's den. And he turned out he actually was a nice guy to where
he's
I think
a very
he kind
nice
of liked
guy.
All right.
I like him.
Before we get into Ask Bob, if we have 1 second, Bob, I know we're on a tight schedule. I haven't shown Joe this. I got a DM from a guy while I was away last weekend about he was in Orlando and he texted me from a Miller's Ale House and said, "Mikey V, your doppelganger is here in Orlando." And I've gotten texts, Joe, I'm sure you've gotten texts like this where somebody goes, "Oh, I saw this guy. He looks exactly like you." I sent this to Bob, and even Bob was like, "Mikey, that's fucking you. Like, holy shit. Look at this guy. This guy was 6'5", by the way, and he was working at Miller's Ale House. Take a look at this guy."
That's crazy, man.
I mean, it is, and I made the guy ask him, like, what his name was and shit, because I was just curious.
Him on the show.
So his name is Sergio and he's Puerto Rican. So I don't think there's any relationship there, but shout out Sergio from Miller's Ale House.
If he can get his number, can't hurt to have him on for a second.
Could you imagine we did like a Mikey versus doppelganger food challenge eat off?
Yeah, it'd be fine.
I'd smoke him. But anyway, I did think that was crazy. I have gotten so many of those, like this guy looks, and I'm just like, yeah, no. This guy, I literally was freaked out for about a half hour looking at this picture. Sent it to my sister-in-law. She was freaked out. My wife was freaked out. Like, everybody was like, what the fuck?
I get it more for Joe than
anybody. Good build on that guy.
Joe hits me up. You know, I got a freaky DM who was like, "Bob, let's play a prank on Joe." He's like, "He's staying at my Airbnb in Vancouver." I'm like, "Bro, I would not want to stay." Like, and I told Joe,
obviously, the guy who owns your Airbnb in Vancouver, Joe.
I'll tell you what, he's gonna get a very bad rating now.
Well, he didn't do anything. Well, yeah, I guess if he wanted to play a prank, that is a little scary though.
Yeah,
he's very scary. I'm going to make sure he gets a very bad rating now.
That does tweak me out. Like,
there are more eyes on this podcast and our thing than more people know. Oh, because what? I'm going to tell you this. I got another one today. I told Bob, Barbasol, the shaving cream brand that I put up to break your balls, Joe, DMs me. And they're like, if somebody's shaving, we want in. And I said, well, our co-host is shaving. And they go, Bobby Fairways. And I was like, no, Cold Cuts. And they go, ah, Cutsy. And they get so again, and then they talked about Bob breaking 80. These people are paying attention.
I tagged Gillette and I tagged the war is it?
The Barbasol's ready to send you a care package. By the way, they wanted the address. They want to send a big old box over to the DeMar house. Little care package.
We have had a lot of things turn around on us. Like I bet you I'm gonna run into Liam Cohen on the. You know, I know that's gonna happen.
Me and Ben Johnson are about to break bread.
Yeah. Yes. Well, you've been in contact with him, as you said. You know,
that was a mispronunciation.
We're gonna end up like golfing with A-Rod, and that's gonna be a problem.
Yeah, but that's gonna
be awesome. You'll end up loving him.
Yes, 100 pro. He'll come on the show. And be like, you know what? I gotta go hand up. Love this A-Rod guy, man. This guy.
He would.
I don't think so. His documentary is ridiculous. It was like he produced it. It was anyway. All right, last Bob. Let's get down to business. Let's start with you, Joe. Let's start with you.
All right, Bob. I don't know. You might either get this very easily or struggle immensely, but I'm going to take a shot here. This week for the Ask Bob segment, I would like to ask you a question about animals. Give me the definition of what a nocturnal animal is and give me an example.
So a nocturnal animal is an animal that can survive underwater and then also above it, like on land. Is that all?
Dude, the fact that you were so sure about it, I thought
you had it, Mikey.
I don't want to laugh. It's hurtful.
No, I mean you could laugh, but I thought for sure that was an animal that like an alligator. An alligator's underwater and overwater, no problem.
Yeah, the animal you're describing, Bob, would be an amphibian. Would be an amphibian.
A nocturnal animal is an animal that operates or is awake at night and sleeps during the day. And an example would be either a raccoon, a bat, an owl.
A bat would have been the best
example. Owl. Well,
owl. Sure.
Those are common.
I was right, Mikey. I was so sure. I thought for sure I had that right.
When he started talking, I actually had to think. I was like, what? Am I wrong? Hold on one second. Because he was so sure.
So give me another amphibian, if it wasn't just a gator.
A frog.
A newt would be an amphibian. A frog, a newt,
salamander.
Yep.
Actually, a catfish, technically.
That sucks. I thought.
Although catfish is a fish, but they can survive on land as well.
Fuck. Mikey, let's go to you. I thought I had that right.
Yeah, Bob, I would like you to tell me what
that really sucked. I thought I was like, all right,
you said it was so much certainty.
I know.
What is the sun? My question for this week is, what is the sun? What actually is the sun? It is a huge example of a what?
Bob, you got to get this.
Planet?
Oh my god, man. It's a star, Bob.
Dude.
I tell you what, we got to get Bob out of LA and in all those cheese shop duties.
Dude, not a planet.
Bro, I do not look forward to this podcast.
Oh, come on. That's why I don't want to laugh anymore, because I feel like it's not fun anymore.
No, look, I dish it. I got to take it. This.
By the way, you were two for two last two episodes, by the way.
You're on a heater.
This is going to be bad.
This sun is a planet. It's a really big planet, by the way. Oh my god.
All right, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
This is going to be bad. The problem is now it gets into the YouTube golf to where, like, I see every time there's Ask Bob, I see it everywhere, which is good and bad.
The good outweighs
the bad, but that those two were really bad. We're going to get in the top five. I got to get my phone in order to have the top five because I have a list.
Okay.
No idea. This was my top five. I went to go do it. There's going to be things I'm going to say that I have no clue, but it's the right top five to do. Hold, please. Okay. Fuck.
Yeah, that's a tough showing from Bob, man. I thought he had the Nocturnal. He was so ready to rock with that.
And he's also been on such a good hot streak lately that I thought maybe he was going to keep it rolling.
And the Sun, I just, you know, I was going to ask him, Joe. I was going to ask him this week. I'm going to save it. But I don't know if it's fair because I don't think a lot of people get it, what ATM stands for. Like an ATM machine, what the ATM stands for. I don't think I'll ever get it. But to be fair, I think that's too hard. Yeah.
Well, the Sun was not very hard.
You guys know I could hear you.
Well, then you could do a little jump research on the ATM. ATM's too tough, by the way, because I don't even think that I would get that.
5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
All right, we're going to be going top five Christmas movies. Again, I want it out there. I'm putting on movies that I have never seen.
Never been done, by the way, confirmed, because people are going to say it was done when we were doing old style top five, not in the draft.
Correct. We want to be in the Christmas spirit. Also, I'm really excited for the next week. We're going to still do a fresh, you know, it'll be us coming in to talk at the beginning.
Oh, that's
Bone
right.
Bone and Limbers, they've been, and EA, they've been working on doing the top moments of the year, which is always a lot of fun. They do it really well. They keep it quick. We'll talk about it a little bit before. So that'll be fun. Top five Christmas movies. Last week was an exhibition, so that didn't count. Where it's Mikey gets the first selection, then me, then Joe. Top five Christmas movies. Mikey, where would you like to pick?
I'm going to go third.
Okay, I'm going to go one. The D-Man's favorite. So I will go one. Joe can recite, Mikey. This is true. He knows the entire Home Alone script. So he can literally just...
One or two, Joe, or both?
One. And it's not the entire. It's big, big chunks.
Yeah, one of his...
Well, I mean, it's arguably the greatest. One of the greatest.
Mikey's going three. I did think you would go one, but obviously you got something good cooked up. So, Joe, you go two. I'm going Home Alone one. And over to you for two.
All right, I will go... Tough, man.
It is. It's really tough.
I'm going to go Home Alone 2 because I can't wait for it to come back. I think it's one of the very few sequels that's as good as the original. Almost.
I don't remember it.
We'll take National Lampoon Christmas Vacation 1.
That's a good one. Yeah.
And then on the way back, I will take A Christmas Story, the one that's on the 24-hour marathon loop.
That's with the old one, right?
You shoot your eye out.
Yeah, yeah, with the red rifle. Yeah.
Yes.
Red
rifle. So back over to you, Petey.
I'm going to go with Elf.
Yeah, it's a great one. So give me the Grinch.
Which one, Bob? Jim Carrey?
Yeah.
Okay.
Grinch. To be honest, I didn't know there was other ones. Give me the Grinch, and then this is one. So far I've seen every one that I have. Give me Jingle All the Way. I thought it was a bang. What's the name of there's Trey. What's the name of that thing that he was after?
Turbo Man.
Turbo Man.
It's Turbo Time.
Turbo.
It's Turbo Time. So what was the one you took before that, Bob? Grinch?
Grinch, yeah.
Okay, I'm going to go with The Santa Claus with Tim Allen.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Okay.
Is that him? Turbo Time. Yeah, he's happy right now.
Yeah.
I was scared the dog and the baby weren't going to recognize me with my beard shaved.
Well, they recognize. Yeah,
he's got my scent.
Let's see here. Grinch is gone. Elf is gone. Santa Claus is gone. Jingle All the Way is gone.
I would have loved Elf, Pete.
Elf is a good one, yeah.
I'm gonna take. Are we allowing Die Hard? Are we
yeah,
allowed?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll take Die Hard.
And then you have to
on the wraparound. I really want to take It's a Wonderful Life because I do think that that's the classic quintessential. So I will take it. It's probably gonna fuck me because
you know what though, it's a great movie and listeners who never listened to it.
When I looked up lists, I saw a ton of that. I never seen it, but I saw it.
Bob, you'd never
be able to watch it, but it's
black and white.
Yeah.
Man, dude, that ass Bob is going to be really, really bad. That's going to be really bad.
All right.
The Sun one was even worse than the first. That was really bad.
I'm going to go with Scrooged with Bill Murray.
Joe, that's one of my personal favorites of all time. I love that movie.
I think it's a pretty good movie, no?
I think it's the best Christmas Carol variation tale there is. I think it's fucking awesome. One of my favorites. No one's seen it from our fan base. Very few, I promise you.
Really?
I love it. Yeah, I think it's great.
We're starting to get to the nitty-gritty here, though, Mike.
Yeah, like, we are. This is a tough one. I can't even imagine what Bob's going to pull out here on this rapper. I cannot even imagine what it's going to be.
I'm going to go with Bad Santa.
Yeah, it's a good one. Have you ever seen it?
No.
God,
Billy Bob Thornton.
So good, bro.
Yeah.
So
no, good. I mean, look, in fairness for me, the top three I have seen. But
yeah,
the
yeah,
next
yeah.
Two,
yeah.
And then you can lock me in for the Polar Express.
There is no hell, no chance in hell Bob's seen that.
No.
All right, I got a good one, and it's an old one. It's a really old one, but it's a classic. The original Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Great one, yep, with the claymation.
Yeah, and I even think that the younger generation has seen it because they play it on like the repeat so often during the holidays.
Yep.
So I'm going to go with that.
I'll take Muppet's Christmas Carol.
That's a good one, too. That's a good one. By the way, it's not going to get the love that it deserves, Mikey, but that's a good solid
one. Yeah, it's a good one. All right. Bob, Home Alone, 1. Grinch, Jim Carrey, 1. Jingle All the Way, Schwarzenegger, Bad Santa, Billy Bob, Polar Express, Tom Hanks special. Joey D, Home Alone 2, Lost in New York, Elf, Will Ferrell, Santa Claus, Tim Allen, Scrooge, Bill Murray, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, the OG, Claymation, everybody knows it. And then I have Clark Griswold, Christmas Vacation, Christmas Story, Die Hard, It's a Wonderful Life, and Muppet's Christmas Carol.
Okay. Couldn't tell you. Couldn't tell you. But we will see. Time will tell. We're in the Christmas period. Again, very excited for next week's episode. We will come on in the beginning, and then they're going to play the hits of the year. Best moments. Again, they did a really good job with the last year, Bone and EA. Shout out them. Have a beautiful, wonderful holiday to everybody from the fellows over at the Brilliantly Dumb Show.
Happy holidays.
It's been a great year. It's been a lot of fun. We're going to recap everything next week. We love you. We appreciate you. We'll see you next time. That's the Brilliantly Dumb Show.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.